fighting for America.
The word is now that the Attorney General will resign today, and that he has served our country very, very well.
Wow.
The Attorney General will be submitting his resignation to the President.
Fighting for Idaho.
I don't know for sure who we're arming. I'm not sure that a year or 2 years from now, those weapons won't be turned on us. I'm very uncomfortable with what's going on there.
Fighting for you.
Good morning, Kevin. I just admire you to no end. You keep doing the right things. Having you out there and promoting the things that you promote is sure a blessing.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the morning.
Stay on top and stay strong.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning here. Coming up, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, will be joining us talking about a few things. And I have to say, last night I was really moved. We had well over 60, almost 75 people joining us at the Foothills Christian Church. And it's because of people like you that showed up, people like Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, Reverend Bill, Gene Lockhart, Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, Tom Munns Facebook, Tom Munns Twitter, Pro-Life, who asked a question about shooting criminals, which I thought was pretty good. And the folks that, like Tammy, that wanted to know what happens when women abuse men, it was something that I believe the early forefounders of talk radio used to do. And really, it was the bread and butter of progressive liberal Phil Donahue before he married Marlo Thomas or whatever. But it was an issue that goes outside the realm. And yes, we will play the hits today because we pledge to you to give you the best news, opinion, and solutions. But the hit being Eric Holder, but it was something that was remarkable. And by the way, we'll have the audio and the video and everything else at 580kido.com. And the reason why we're going to have it on that platform is if you didn't get to go to that meeting, there's a lot of information that you need to know. Jan Bennett's from the Ada County Prosecutor's Office, echoing what Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, had said to us several weeks ago, that everyone in the state of Idaho is obligated that if you suspect child abuse, by state law, you have to report it to the police or Department of Child Services. Yes, that's how big a problem it was. And the people last night who were victims, there were so many people that said, you know, I'm hurting. I was a victim. I know someone. Again, real life issues, real life solutions. And we'll have more on that. Actually, let's bring in Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, as he's coughing. I don't know if we're ever going to get a humidifier in the studio or not. I actually kind of like it when people cough in here because then I know it's not just me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you today, Kevin?
Always ready to go here and always trying to make sense of a senseless world. Let's go with your thoughts on the, and we'll get into Eric Holder, we'll get into Roger Goodell, and we'll take your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Your thoughts on the forum last night. By the way, I really appreciated you being there and your welcomed coaching because you care about this. You said, Kevin, you got to make sure you give out the numbers. And that's very important, and we'll give those out again. But your thoughts on the forum last night.
It was a very moving, very touching meeting to hear the testimonies and stories of those individuals who have had to face domestic violence and child abuse. There was a lot of information that was presented at that meeting, and I was very impressed with the amount of resources that are available in the Treasure Valley to individuals who are victims of domestic abuse. Again, very touching.
Were you shocked at the amount of people who had been impacted by domestic violence and or child abuse?
When I first became involved with this issue through Family Advocates, or otherwise known as CASA, that's where my education began in looking at the question of child abuse in our valley. So as far as I was concerned regarding the meeting, I'm not shocked anymore with respect to the level of the problem that we face. However, notwithstanding academically being acclimated to the numbers, It's still very moving to hear the one-on-one stories that these people have. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes to hear some of these stories. And you, whether you're right or left of the political spectrum, this problem crosses the aisle politically, economically, religious lines. No one goes unscathed with respect to their status. This is a problem, and part of it is due to mental illness. Part of it is due to drug use and addiction. I got to tip my hat to Bill Roscoe and the Boise Rescue Mission. They are on literally the front line in helping people deal with these problems, both from the question of addiction as well as on the matter of abuse. God bless us that we have people like Bill and others.
And they do so without the government.
Well, that's true. You know, just people helping people, which is the way it should be. But I'm certainly not opposed to taking any resource that we have, because this requires volunteers. This requires money.
On the other hand, though, if you take government money, then all of a sudden you have all these regulations and you don't have the ability or freedom sometimes to help people.
Well, I look at it from a different perspective from the court system. The court system takes resources and money. And I'm reminded continually from our judges and from our prosecutors about the guidelines that we must follow in order to comply with federal regulations for the money. But it's not bad in that respect. We just do not have the resources allocated by our state legislature devoted to dealing with the plethora of cases that now are mounting because of methamphetamines and other drugs. And so it's a welcome resource to be able to use to help families obtain the education they need in order to overcome the problem. And where they don't, that we have now the resources available to place these children in foster care and other permanent places with other family members. But again, it literally takes hundreds of thousands of dollars throughout the entire state to address this issue. So I don't turn away that money. We need it.
580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to our top story of the day, and that is the Attorney General resigning. I say a welcomed boot for that creep Eric Holder. Now, is that fair to call him a creep, counselor?
Well,
can we insult people in the politically correct world that we live in today?
You do have a First Amendment privilege to say whatever you wish with.
Then there are consequences of that. Now, does the word creep come into the realm where it's too offensive? You are our legal advisor here.
You know, I'm sure that the list of names that people have called me is long and distinguished along those same lines. I know Mr. Holder personally.
Well, that's why we have you here. Good friend, your colleague, Eric Holder.
I wouldn't go that far to say that he's a good friend. I've met him on a time or two, and we've worked the wall together on certain issues. I've been on the record very, very loud and very clear of my criticisms of Mr. Holder's performance as the U.S. Attorney General,
now,
and I do welcome.
Is it okay to call him a creep?
I don't call him a creep.
Can I call him a creep?
You can call anybody whatever you want.
At least once. Let's go to the news story, and then we'll have more commentary. By the way, your thoughts. Finally, Eric Holder gets the boot, 580-5436.
He'll be remembered as one of the more controversial attorneys general, a term that saw the Justice Department tackle financial fraud, terrorism, and civil rights enforcement.
Work remains to be done, but our list of accomplishments is real.
Eric Holder's critics, particularly amongst Republicans, were many. A statement from House Speaker John Boehner calling the resignation long overdue. Holder was voted in contempt of Congress over his handling of the Fast and Furious gun running scandal. He stays in office until a successor is confirmed. A process Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he hopes is swift. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
Now, I heard Holder's getting the boot because our friends at Judicial Watch have gotten a judge to make Holder compel him to release Fast and Furious documents that Congress could not get him to release.
Just within 16 hours ago, a judge of competent jurisdiction entered an order requiring Eric Holder and the Department of Justice to release these records that Judicial Watch had been long seeking the disclosure of concerning what's been referred to as the Fast and Furious dispute. Holder and the Department of Justice claim that these documents were privileged under the executive privilege doctrine, and the court rejected that, ordering them to at least forego the blanket assertion of privilege and saying you've got to produce a privilege log identifying what documents you have and the basis for the privilege. And those that document must be presented by October 22, on or before that. What Holder wanted to do was to wait for the disclosure after the midterm election, and the court rejected that and said they had until October 22. Within hours after that, the president then had this press conference accepting Mr. Holder's recognition or resignation. However, that does not go into effect for weeks or months until his replacement is nominated and presented to the Senate.
Right. At 580-5436, 580-KIDO, talking about Eric Holder getting the boot. I think it's a good move. Now, please correct me, Counselor. I think this was forced, number one. Number two, I think Eric Holder has been one of the most polarizing attorney generals that we've ever seen. He's going down to Ferguson, and as they're looting and robbing, investigating the police department, the man did not, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong here, but according to published reports, did not see civil rights crimes as when it was black on white. He refused to prosecute those, according to his own people in the Department of Justice. We have him justifying snooping on reporters and arrogantly going, what are you going to do about it? And finally, your good friend, Congressman Labrador, insulted by Eric Holder. Do we have that? Yes, we do. Let's go to the videotape, please.
Chairman,
I hope
I
not.
Just say one thing.
Yes, sir.
In response to Mr. Labrador.
Of course.
That was among the worst things I think I've ever seen in college. You took a whole series of statements out of context, with no context.
With all due respect, the worst thing I've ever seen.
The gentleman's time has expired.
And, you know, I was, the Mark Rich thing was considered in my confirmation. Talked about it then. There's a whole bunch of things that I could say about what you just did, and maybe this is the way you do things from, you know, in Idaho or wherever you're from. But understand something. What I've done, I'm proud of the work that I've done as Attorney General of the United States, and looked at fairly, I think that I've done, you know, a pretty good job. Have I been perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? Yes.
I've done a pretty good job. And I don't know how they do things where you're from. Okay, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. You're a distinguished guy. You're trying to help me become civilized, if you will, to have some diplomacy. What the blank was that?
Well, you've made a lot of statements here, and I want to clarify a couple of things. First and foremost, Eric Holder has gone on the record years ago that he was basically in this, not for the duration, but for 4 to 6 year term. He did this. He's a personal friend of Obama. They went to law school together. They've been friends for years since then. But if you put the question to me of a report card of his performance, it certainly to me comes within the realm of a D to C minus range in his performance on a number of issues. With respect to the comments that the honorable representative from the state of Idaho said, you know, boo freaking who, with respect to his comments.
He's a congressman.
It's been both ways.
He's a congressman.
It's both ways.
He's a congressman. That guy works for Congressman Labrador.
He does not. He works for the executive branch.
Shouldn't there be some respect? How dare he insult Idaho?
You know, the whole point is that they're at each other. And that's been my continual criticism of the labels that we place upon each other. Instead of having an open discussion and dialogue of the issues, we throw names at each other, and it breaks down the dialogue. You know, there's much to be said and many problems that need to be addressed, and here we are spending time about what each of us are calling each other. And that's part of the problem that we talked about last night.
As an attorney, how in the world, as the chief law enforcement officer, he's an embarrassment.
Well,
I mean, how can you defend him when he allowed the spying on reporters? He covered up Fast and Furious. The civil rights issue, what is that about? He's going down to Ferguson, Missouri, a powder keg, and he's talking about, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Well, sir, what are you going to do about the people blowing up the buildings?
On this very station, we heard yesterday a well-renowned commentator on the right make this criticism about Eric Holder being partial and perhaps even biased. And our comment that we talked about last night was that's the problem of government in and of itself. There is no impartiality, and quite frankly, I don't know of an attorney anywhere that is impartial in performing their function, because we represent clients.
Doesn't he have a duty to protect the law? And here's another one. When you have the Black Panthers outside a voting booth armed with bats or guns, and he does nothing about that, is that not intimidation? Does that not fall into the realm of bringing in the feds like we did during George McGovern George Wallace and in Alabama?
Let's be clear. Of my criticisms of this particular attorney general, I've been on the record of just outright saying in my reporting of his performance is that he's been incompetent in many respects. I'm not proud of the performance that he's done. I know he's good friends with the administration, but his performance has been less than satisfactory on a number of issues with respect to being what's typically referred to as being the top cop. This last foray within the last month, I went on the record as very critical of him, basically pouring gasoline on an already hostile situation of him showing up at the scene.
Where's his responsibility then?
His responsibility? Stay home.
Right.
We don't need to allocate resources to protect government officials when the local people are taking care of it.
All right. More coming up next with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Jim from Middleton, please stand by. We would like a robust debate this morning, 580-5436-622. Let's get you to work safely and on.
All men are created free and equal before the law. As one of the longest-serving attorney generals in American history, Eric Holder has borne that burden. So this is bittersweet, and I know Brooke and Maya and Buddy are excited to get their dad back for a while.
Everybody's working for the weekend. Food for your brain, Kevin Miller. Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, coming up, the infamous speech from our objective attorney general out the door that we're a nation of cowards. Before that, we're joined by Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and our great friend Jim from Middleton. Alan, please stop playing with your laptop there, and we go to the phones at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, I wanted to weigh in here. You know, Mr. Morton there, you know, he may be an honorable attorney, but there's very, very few of them. Our country is run by attorneys, and you see the state of affairs. This administration, the president and Mr. Holder, are attorneys as well. And these people are the biggest racists I've ever seen. They write the book on calling people names. And I have very little respect for a profession of lawyers and attorneys that continue to practice their trade, yet a hamburger flipper in at McDonald's is held to a higher standard because they could not get away with what attorneys do to this country, Kevin, on a daily basis, okay? The lies that's come out of this president's mouth, if you like your doctor, you can keep it. We forget these things so quickly. But and that Mr. Morton's talking about not calling people names and being honorable and what have you. I mean, you got to look at your whole profession, sir, and that's pretty pathetic in terms of their performance opposed to people that work in everyday situations, because they could not get away with that kind of behavior.
Well, I think you raise some good points. My purpose here is in following the tradition of George Herbert Walker Bush's comments about trying to raise the level of discussion beyond name-calling to the issues, to make our society a kinder, more gentler community. I don't see much served in name-calling, but you can still raise the issues and talk about what's
about
right and wrong. I think that's what you're talking about. Your frustration is that attorneys should be held to a higher standard in any discussion, in any discourse. They should set the example. You know, our nation was founded by, in effect, lawyers from its very inception. And that goes to reason because we're the ones that are involved in both writing the law, enforcing the law, legislating the law, interpreting the law. And that's basically what government is. It starts with our Constitution and then the laws that come down from there, both state and federal. So I'm not in disagreement with you.
Okay, well, we had a conversation earlier, and you were discussing the Second Amendment and other issues. And you basically said, you know, whoever's in power can kind of dictate policy. So when we pass laws, okay, and then we have a new administration that wants to reinterpret them, I don't have a whole lot of faith in that. Either the law is black and white in most cases, or they're not. Okay, and again, you may be honorable. I don't know that for sure, but I'm going to take it that you are. You're on Kevin's show, so that says something. But most attorneys are not revered in high regard or held in high regard, and most attorneys are corrupt, and that's a fact.
Well, I guess really what there is there's two types of people in this world. There are lawyers and those who hate lawyers. And so some of that contempt comes from what some in my profession have done. But for the most part, particularly in the Treasure Valley, I've known some great people that are lawyers, and I'm proud to be one.
Well, okay. Now, thank you, Jim. We've had our talk about our public service announcement about lawyers coming up, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Your reaction to this, is this someone that you trust to enforce the nation's laws?
One cannot truly understand America without understanding the historical experience of black people in this nation. Simply put, to get to the heart of this country, one must examine its racial soul. Though this nation has proudly thought of itself as a ethnic melting pot, in things racial, we have always been, and we, I believe, continue to be, in too many ways, essentially a nation of cowards. Though race-related issues continue to occupy a significant portion of our...
Here we have the Attorney General calling us a nation of cowards about race. Your reaction, Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Every time that Barack Obama has bent, broken, avoided, or evaded the Constitution or federal law, Eric Holder has been at his side, cheering him on, providing intellectual cover, and purporting to give him legal advice authorizing what the president wanted to do. From allowing the president to kill Americans, from allowing the president to spy on Americans, from personally authorizing the invasion of privacy of our colleague James Rosen, from seizing property from people who weren't even charged with crimes, Eric Holder has been behind all of it. He is probably the least faithful to the Constitution of any president in modern times, and he doesn't regret any of it.
There we have it from the judge, Judge Napolitano on Fox News Radio. He's not a judge. He's our attorney, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Do you agree with that statement about Eric Holder?
Well, I go back to what I've said earlier as far as competency. There is no such thing as an impartial lawyer. We have clients. Eric Holder is the U.S. Attorney General, and the criticism is that he hasn't done his job. You know, there are a number of issues that I take with Mr. Holder. The Fast and Furious controversy and withholding documents from Congress. He was subpoenaed. He had an obligation to abide by the subpoena. He could and did object to the subpoena on grounds of executive privilege, but relying upon a blanket objection isn't permissible under our jurisprudence. He has a duty to prove the privilege, and the court has required him to do that by putting his feet to the fire. The issue that I'm also concerned about still deals with the IRS and, you know, calling people on the carpet for audits based upon their political philosophy or political beliefs. You know, that's illegal. And he should have been at the forefront in that investigation. The concept of, well, we lost these emails because of a down server doesn't fly. You know, I've had servers crash, but there are backups everywhere.
Why did he get political, calling us a nation of cowards when it comes to race? Why was he so non-respectful of Congress? I look at this and I'm thinking the guy should have just done his job, but no, he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to stick it to people.
Some people just do not have the demeanor necessary to function in a public domain. But there is a metamorphosis. I mean, I have dear and close personal friends that knew me in an earlier age, and I would run off with the motor mouth and say things like this. And you learn from experience.
I'm with you. However, if he hasn't learned by now, why didn't President Obama come in and say, Eric, shut up. Here's more of the best of Eric Holder.
They have, as part of the gun initiative, though, an informational campaign to really change the hearts and minds of people in Washington, D.C., and in particular our young people. They are saturated in the media and in entertainment, or by the entertainment industry, with violence. And I think too many of our young people, in particular our young men, are fascinated with violence and in particular fascinated with guns. And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people, and make it something that's not cool, that it's not acceptable, it's not hip to carry a gun anymore. In the way in which we've changed our attitudes about cigarettes, you know, when I was growing up, people...
There we have it, the crime-fighting, gun-loving Attorney General. Obviously, these public comments undermine his credibility, and whatever happened to the right to privacy, whatever happened to Congress, the separation of powers, the balance of powers, and now we have, first of all, to me, if Alberto Gonzalez, if Janet Reno had said this, they would be fired. Now, these comments were when he was the assistant AG, when he was in with Clinton. But look, you can't make these comments and be the attorney general. But he was Obama's guy. He got to stay.
Well, as I said, the entire public career of Mr. Holder has been a disappointment. He hasn't fulfilled the function and charge that he was given. These type of comments, particularly about race, are particularly troubling to me. I think he got a pass for who he was and the relationship that he had the president. But let's be clear. What if you or I were to go out, you know, in this forum and start talking about race in the manner that he did? They'd have our heads on a petard. I think it's totally inappropriate, you know, for us to play the race card in that regard. Is race involved in our jurisprudence? Technically, yes. You know, we see inappropriate prosecutions. We see police actions, you know, predicated upon fear of in race relations.
We see the Black Panthers threatening people in Philadelphia, and the crime-fighting Nation of Cowards Attorney General doesn't do a darn thing about it.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, going back even to the most liberal of predecessors that Holder had, like the Bobby Kennedy. I can't imagine, you know, somebody like Bobby Kennedy putting up with that. You know, he was the one that got JFK moved in a very controversial time around the Bay of Pigs to go after George Wallace on segregation.
Or even going down to Ferguson. What? I mean, that makes no sense. People are burning buildings and looting, and he's going to investigate the law enforcement officers. It undermines his credibility. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Your thoughts on Eric Holder? And Alan L. Morton has advised me not to say this, but he's a creep. Number one, not you, Eric Holder. Number two, your thoughts on his successor. Where does Obama go from here?
Well, where does he go from here? He's got a number of choices with respect to replacing Holder. And, you know, I've been talking with a few of my friends that are in high places in government and in private practice, and the names that are coming forward to replace the Attorney General is a long list of distinguished and accomplished individuals. They include Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts, who incidentally early this morning said, "I'm out. I'm not a name to be considered," but he would have been a good one. Solicitor General Donald Varelli Jr. Would be an excellent choice. Former Governor Jennifer Granholm of Michigan, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse.
They seem like a bunch of card-carrying, flame-throwing liberals, number one. And there I go again. Let me apologize in advance for calling them names. Jennifer Granholm was an embarrassment, and she's Canadian. How can she represent the American people by being a foreigner?
She is, well, there is no restriction.
The former governor of Michigan, and they're still trying to clean up that mess. More with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and Kevin Miller, and your thoughts on Holder getting the boot. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Time for traffic.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:53 coming up, we'll talk a little bit about the NFL and legalese, but we are devoting most of our program today at 580 KIDO to the, well, the, I don't know how you'd say it, the long goodbye of Eric Holder. He is getting the boot, and let me just say this. This shows you the importance of the people that we talk to, and not just Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, that apparently is driving a bunch of people crazy, but Judicial Watch. I've known these guys for years. Chris Farrell's our friend. Tom Fitton's our friend. And remember what the last when we had Tom Fitton on the last time when he said, "Kevin, we're working on something very big, a nonpartisan group that does something that Congress cannot do, and that's holding people in power, Republican and Democrat, accountable." And in our own way of taking a victory lap here, just to let you know, we sought them out to get you that information. Another way we're trying to justify our existence to you, to differentiate ourselves from just reading you the newspaper. And look, there's great people that read you the newspaper. They're very successful here in the Treasure Valley. We want to give you the newsmakers here locally and across the country that are making a difference. Judicial Watch will be with us next week, but it's because of them that Eric Holder will be seeing you. Now, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, is with us. We're going to be talking more about Holder, his replacement, what's going on with the NFL. But there was a very important message concerning a 9-year-old that you want to get across here this morning, sir.
I was awakened early this morning at 3:37 by a phone call, which was a recorded message right off the bat coming out of a sound sleep. I thought, what in the Hades is this? But the message came from the Boise City Police. And apparently they had located a 9-year-old sometime this morning, and they were calling to let those of us in the west end of Boise know that there was this 9-year-old that they had taken in that had been apparently roaming some neighborhood who was autistic, and he was wearing a blue shirt and a gray set of sweatpants. And they were asking the community's input as to if we knew who this child might be to call the police department. And I don't know if they've been able to identify this child, but if any of you out there know of a 9-year-old autistic child, it might behoove you to give the police a call, because they are trying to locate the parents or guardian of this child. I can't imagine what the parents would be going through.
Amazing when you think about the child and every parent's biggest fear.
Oh, you know, being a grandpa of 7 and a father of 5, you know, I thought about that all the way to the drive over here. Is, you know, I called my wife and said, "Hey, make sure everybody's accounted for. We don't have any autistic children." But that's certainly a wake-up call.
And that's what we're doing here, 656, 580-KIDO. Coming up next hour, we'll take more of your phone calls, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, based on your connections in and outside the Beltway, are we going to get somebody more conservative or even more liberal? When you're talking about Granholm, when you're talking about Deval Patrick, Deval Patrick goes back to the president many, many moons ago. Granholm, a failed governor, a failed television personality, just a failure. Having her as the attorney general, that's just going to add fuel to the fire with a perhaps Republican-leaning Congress.
The fellow that has the inside track is the Solicitor General of the United States. And the Solicitor General, in this particular case, is the attorney that is assigned to argue all cases representing the United States of America before the United States Supreme Court. That person does happen to be a good friend of the president as well as Eric Holder, but he's renowned for his work doing pro bono services. He's renowned for his good work as Solicitor General, and his name is Donald Varelli. Varelli was an undergraduate from Yale University and obtained his J.D., or his Juris Doctor, his law degree.
Well, we don't need you to read his bio, just your thoughts on him.
Right. Columbia, though. And this guy's smart.
Oh, so he's an East Coast elitist. Well, guess what? We need another one of those.
I think this fellow,
how about
though,
somebody from the West?
This fellow has been renowned by the Senate. When he was confirmed as Solicitor General, it was by a vote of 72 to 16. That's
right.
Remarkable.
Right. 59 degrees in Boise, 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave. And it is 6:59. Coming up next, Fox News on the radio. And much more at 580 KIDO on Eric Holder. Alan L. Morton and I have pretty much bogarted the conversation. We do want to hear from you at 580-5436. Coming up, thanks to the diligent hard work of Ray Amaya, we will have A.J. Belukoff joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. And some of my sources within both political parties, oh, it's not like I'm a high-floating guy like Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, or Reverend Bill, or Patriot Ray, but people do talk to me, and I tend to listen. This gubernatorial race is a lot tighter than anyone would have thought. We'll get the inside skinny on A.J. Belukoff and why he believes he should be the next governor of Idaho. That's it.